Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Monday. Aren't we thankful for Mondays? Monday, the 8th of May, 2006. I want to get back into this acetone thing because it does work. Complete vaporization of fuel is far from perfect today in cars and trucks. A certain amount of residual fuel in most engines remains liquid in the hot chamber. In order to be fully combusted, the fuel must be fully vaporized. Makes sense. Surface tension. Now, this is how acetone actually works with gasoline. So pay attention to this. Surface tension presents an obstacle to vaporization. For instance, the energy barrier from surface tension can sometimes force water to reach 300 degrees before it vaporizes. Similarly, with gasoline. Acetone drastically reduces the surface tension. Most fuel molecules are sluggish with respect to their neutral frequency. Acetone has an inherent molecular vibration that stirs up the fuel molecules to break the surface tension. This results in more complete vaporization, with other factors remaining the same. More complete vaporization means less wasted fuel, hence the increased gas mileage from the increased thermal efficiency. Now, let me stop right here. You're probably wondering already, well, if acetone works, why the heck aren't they putting it in gas? Well, the problem is with it, it evaporates really quick. You can pour this, and I did this the other day. I poured an ounce into a glass measuring cup, and I kept sitting there watching it. Pretty soon, it was 3/4 of an ounce and a half an ounce, and within 15 minutes, it was totally gone. So their problem is it did vaporize. It disappears rather quickly. But your fuel systems in your cars and trucks now are sealed systems, so you don't. There's still air in there. Okay, but you're not getting evaporation. So whatever you put in there is going to last at least as long as your gas does in your system. Okay. That excess fuel was formerly wasted past the rings or sent out through the tailpipe. When mixed with acetone, it gets burned, though the engine still thinks it's running straight gas. Here's another thing that you got to be conscious of. Because of these computerized engines, you start messing around with too many additives in there, it starts to read the fuel the wrong way. It starts screwing up the air-fuel mixture. Also, these computers control your timing in your car. A lot of people out there, you know, if you haven't figured out that you bought a brand new car, it's got a big V8 engine, but you still burn 87 in it, that's because the computer in that thing will adjust the timing to stop that engine from pinging or knocking. You know, going out there and burning 92 octane in your car doesn't help. It's just wasted money. How much to use? Here you go. Well, let me back up. Acetone allows gasoline to behave more like an ideal automotive fuel, which is propane. The degree of improved mileage depends on how much unburned fuel you're presently wasting. You might gain 15 to 35% better economy from the use of acetone, sometimes even more. Did you hear that? 15 to 35% better economy from the use of acetone, sometimes even more. How much to use? Add in tiny amounts from about 1 quart per 5,000 to 1 part per 3,000. Now, we'll break that down. This comes to approximately 0.0003%. This stuff is going to be really confusing. Let me just get down to the nitty-gritty. About 1 ounce per 10 gallons, or not more than 3 ounces per 10 gallons. All right? Usually, an ounce per 10 gallons will do you. More than that, we'll get into why it's not good to mix it at a higher ratio. This is a real deal. I tried it out over the weekend. I drove up to Crawford, Texas this weekend. You didn't, but we did. I put some in my bike. And I'm telling you, this stuff works. And it doesn't cost you $30. You don't have to join a club. You don't have to pay somebody else the privilege for using the product. We'll be right back.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right. Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right. There's a lot of information surrounding this, so I'm going to go through it rather quickly. But again, the website, www.pureenergysystems.com. So you can look it up there and read it all for yourself. It's got charts and graphs and everything. I'm just giving you the cursory information here. After you first find your best gasoline in your area, okay, and that's important because there is differences in gasoline, all right? We'll get to that section also. After you first find the best gasoline in your area, then try acetone amount for your car per 10 gallons, and if you're happy with your newfound mileage, you might want to try stopping the use of acetone for a couple of tanks. Watch the drop in mileage. It will amaze you. That reverse technique is one of the biggest eye-openers concerning the use of acetone in fuels. In a 10-gallon tank of gasoline, use 1 to 3 ounces of pure acetone to obtain excellent mileage improvements. In a 10-gallon tank of diesel fuel, use 1 to 2 ounces of acetone. Performance goes up too. Use about half a teaspoon of acetone in the fuel tank of a 4-cycle lawnmower or snowblower, or you can apply it with an eyedropper. Okay, which says you don't use much. Where to get the acetone? Now, the pure acetone label is the only additive suggested and is easily available from most drugstores in 16-ounce plastic bottles or 1-quart jars, and in 1-gallon containers from some large fleet farm supply stores. but any acetone source is better than none. Containers labeled acetone from hardware stores are usually okay and pure enough to put in your fuel. We prefer cans and bottles that say 100% pure. The acetone in gallons or pints we get from the Fleet Farm labeled 100% pure. That's where they get theirs. The bottles from Walgreens say 100% pure. Never use solvents such as paint thinners or unknown stuff in your gas. Toluene, benzene, and xylene have been okay if they are pure, but it may not raise mileage except when mixed with acetone. However, the aromatics also raise octane. Now, adding acetone to your tank. When you fill up with fuel, note the number of gallons added, then calculate the right amount of acetone to add. Less is more. Remember, all gasoline is different. Some will work better than others in the presence of acetone, which is strictly a vaporization tool, rather than a fuel additive that alters combustion. The car computer still thinks it's running straight gasoline. None of your settings are altered. None of your engine parts are affected. Some stores sell acetone in metal cans of various sizes, which are safe to keep indoors. However, it is difficult to pour from these cans, which have a flat top and a short neck, from which spillage is inevitable. In any case, while handling acetone, you should be wearing rubber gloves or be very, very careful. Okay? It is toxic to human beings. All right? But in the combustion chamber, it is not. We'll get to that also. One option to get a small graduated cylinder available from science supply stores or in some pharmacies. The small ones have larger intervals between the markings, so it is easier to refill them to the level desired. That's just that section of it. Now, the additional benefits of this. In addition to increased mileage, acetone added to fuel boosts other benefits as well as increased power, engine life, and performance. Less unburned fuel going past the rings keeps the rings and the engine oil in far better condition. A tiny bit of acetone in diesel fuel can stop the black smoke when the rack is all the way up at full throttle. You will notice that the exhaust soot will be greatly reduced and your truck or car runs smoother. Acetone can reduce hydrocarbon emissions up to 60%. In some older cars, the readings with acetone in a 1986 GMC went from 440 parts per million to 195 as just one example. Though mileage gains taper off with too much acetone, hydrocarbon emissions are nevertheless greatly reduced. Pure acetone is an extremely clean burning fuel that burns in air with a pretty blue smokeless flame. Acetone reduces the formation of water ice crystals in below zero weather, which can damage your fuel filter. Change that fuel filter every year to protect your injectors. Now, there are no known bad effects and every good reason to use acetone in your fuel. I have never seen a problem with acetone, and I've used acetone in gasoline and diesel fuel and in jet fuel, JP4, for 50 years. I have rigorously tested independently and am considered an authority on this important subject. Now, here's the cautions, which I want to put out. Keep acetone away from painted surfaces, such as the paint on your car, underneath the gas tank opening. Acetone is the key ingredient in paint remover. In addition to paint, fuels, including acetone, gasoline alone, can also dissolve asphalt in most plastics. Never allow skin to contact with it. It may damage clothing as well. Don't breathe it. Keep it away from kids, from all dangerous chemicals. Read the directions on the container. Acetone is a highly flammable liquid, as is gasoline. Do not expose it to open flame or spark. Acetone should be stored outside with proper ventilation, not inside your house, folks. Gasoline and or acetone will dissolve cheap plastics, so be sure the container you store it in will not deteriorate. Read all precautions. Now, here's the issue, and I know you're thinking these questions, okay? I'm already ahead of you. No issues with engine parts. I have soaked carburetor parts in acetone for months and even years to see if there's any deterioration. Any parts made to run with gasoline will work with acetone just fine. I presently have soaked parts in 1, 2, 5, and 10% acetone versus gasoline mixes as well, or just gasoline. That is 20 to 200 times too much to be sure. And I don't know what a 30R7 rated part is, but he says they're left in perfect condition. All my tests have been run with Texaco gasoline. I've tested the gas stations in my area to first find the best gasoline before putting acetone in the tank, but I have no idea from a pragmatic view what other gasolines do except when I attempt to use them, my MPG drops like a rock. So for purely monetary reasons, I run the best available gasoline. When my dyno is built this summer, he said, I'll test all the gasolines in my area and publish the results on the web. I hear from engineers out west that Chevron gas is very good. I used it, and it was fine during the trips to California. I attach more credence to engineers who report things of interest to me because of their training and knowledge of testing methods. The contrast with alcohol. In contrast, alcohol has been shown to be corrosive in an engine, yet they put that into gasoline. Alcohol in general is anti-mileage. Alcohol is no good in fuels. In Brazil, millions of engines and fuel systems were ruined by alcohol, yet they're talking of doubling the amount of alcohol in their gasoline. Furthermore, alcohol increases surface tension, producing the opposite effect of acetone. Alcohol in fuel attracts water. This hurts mileage because the water acts like a fire extinguisher. Go figure. Some cars may run badly and even quit due to the incombustible nature of the water-laden fuel. We know of a dozen cars that recently stopped running due to water in the alcohol and gas mixture. In my Neon, that's what he was testing some of this stuff in, it frequently has cut the MPG in half on trips when I take potluck at the pump. In below-zero weather, the water and alcohol can form in abrasive, icy particles that may damage fuel pumps and clog injectors. Now, this has not been warmly received. Well, guess from whom? Questions asked of someone in the petroleum industry regarding acetone will often automatically trigger a string of negative reactions and perhaps false assertions. We may have heard them all. The mere mention of this additive represents such a threat to oil profits that you may get fabricated denials against the success use of acetone in fuels. The author has never found any valid reason for not using acetone in gasoline or diesel fuel. Plus, it takes such a tiny amount to work. No wonder they fear this additive. Now, he goes into the political aspects of this and so on and so forth. But you can report your own findings to this. And again, the website is pureenergysystems.com. You know, and I'm serious, folks. I actually, believe it or not, got a call today. Somebody called me. They had somebody on the line from Florida, and they wanted me to jump on board with this wonderful product. And I said, what's the product? And I was getting the sales pitch. I said, cut to the quick. What's the main ingredient in it? Well, they didn't tell me what the main ingredient was in it. And I said, okay, what is it supposed to do? And I said, how much does it cost? Is this multi-level? Oh, yep, there it came. Yeah, well, it's multi-level marketed. Well, that's real successful. I'm glad people have paid attention to Amway, okay? I'm glad there's herbal gerbils out there. But in my experience, multi-level marketing does one thing. It puts the burden on the end user, the customer. Everybody's got their fingers in there to build business and spread the word and great product and all this other stuff. Well, that takes the place of advertising. You get people to sign up and to push your product, and you get a profit off of it. Well, that's the inducement for the product sales. That's fine and dandy. If you're into multi-level marketing, fine. I am not, because it just multiplies the cost to the end user, and I'm all for the mostest for the leastest. I said, what does your one quart of whatever cost? $32. What are you guaranteeing? Oh, a 19% increase in fuel. Okay. Well, I said, I can do that for about $5 a quart. Can you beat that? Well, what is it you're talking about? I said, acetone. Well, is that petroleum-based or mineral-based? And where can I get it? Anywhere. Make sure it says 100%. So I told him, I said, look, if you want to contact any talk show host on this network, that's fine. You can do that. As a network, though, me sitting here having to make these decisions, no, I'm not going to do that to people out there, because it raises the end price to the user. So take this for what it is worth. Try your own experiment. It'll cost you $5 for a quart of the stuff. Make sure it says 100% pure. Add no more than an ounce per 10 gallons to start. You can play around with it. You can increase a little bit more, but not necessarily more is better. You know, you're talking to a guy here that still likes to go out and buy the 7-ounce bottles of Coke, because I don't think 20 ounces of the crap is necessarily better. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Yeah, nobody in Central Texas wants to talk to me today. We had some callers here from Texas, and they dropped off real quick. So let's go to Arkansas. You guys are chicken. Come on. Come on. Dave in Arkansas. Hello, Dave.
Hello there, John.
How you doing?
Fine, fine. I would like to attest very much to the efficiency of the acetone in the fuel.
You've been using it?
Over the last 6 months, it's awesome stuff. I used about 2 ounces per 10 gallons in my 87 Chevy.
Okay.
305.
Uh-huh.
It smooths the engine out. It's burnt the carbon out. More power and about 25% increase in mileage.
Now, your 87, is that fuel injected or carbureted?
It's throttle body injected.
Okay. Okay. All right. And what do you figure the improvement in gas mileage is?
I'd say about 25%, John.
About 25?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at their graphs, and they did this based on 3 different cars. And let me get to this page here real quick. They used 3 cars that they labeled A, B, and C, and one they got 35%, the second one they got about 30, and the third they got about 25%.
Mm-hmm.
And the diesel, let me see, the diesel fuel, they got about, 23, 24% out of diesel.
can't beat it with a stick, John.
No, you can't. And what brand do you use?
I get it. It's pure stuff, pure acetone from a local, very small chemical company.
Okay.
They sell various chemicals.
Now, to be fair to the oil companies, before I get sued here or something, the reason why the gasoline companies can't put this in your gas is because the stuff will evaporate out of it. Okay, but that's about as far as I'll give them a pass.
Right. Okay, the physics principle upon which it works is that it reduces the surface tension of the fuel molecule so that it vaporizes very readily.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I thought, okay, let me see. Less hydrocarbon emissions. The cars that they make now, Dave, they'll tell you, you can get 100,000 miles before a tune-up. Well, we got a Dodge van with about 78,000 miles on it. The things start running like absolute, hoota. So I called the Chrysler Garage, and they said, no, you don't need a tune-up to at least 100,000. I said, it's missing. Do you understand? It's
right.
Missing. The acceleration is not there. They said, well, we use platinum plugs, and they're designed to light. But what they weren't getting here was the things were falling out. So
right
on. What does my wife do? She goes and has the injectors cleaned out. Guess what? It's still running like absolute hudda.
Right on.
So I tested this out myself, and like I said, I put it in my motor scooter, and just the hydrocarbons that it doesn't emit now, the chrome is still clean. And I have, loud short pipes on the stupid thing, so... this stuff would end up it would blow by the bike. It would just start collecting on the rear wheel and on various chrome parts. I put that acetone in there. For the first 5 minutes, I thought I'd made a major mistake. I thought that I'd become its number one enemy. Well, then I realized what was happening. It was taking that water out of the bottom of that tank. It ran it through that constant velocity piece of brick that they put on the side of these side trap carburetors, and notoriously, and anybody that has ever had a Harley Davidson sports drafter can attest, they know of what I speak. They are the most meanest, cold-hearted beast when they are cold, but warm them up, they're just fine. Well, for the first 5 minutes, it didn't like this at all. Well, after 5 minutes, after it burned the nasty stuff out of the gas tank, that thing never ran better. I ran it for about 2 to 3 hours. I'd say a good 3 hours, come to think of it. No hydrocarbon crap on the chrome at all.
Right on. And by the way, John, I have 280,000 miles on that 87 Chevy pickup truck, and it purrs like a kitten. The heads have never been off.
Really?
Yeah.
280,000 miles on a GM. Do you think they could start making these cars again before GM goes bankrupt?
Well, I do change the oil religiously every 3,000.
Same here, and I'll be honest. I use the synthetic stuff.
I use nothing but straight 30 weight. I won't use the multi-disc oils.
Yeah,
they will screw your engine up big time.
All right. Well, Dave, thanks for the testimony, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you, John. Have a good one.
Okay. Roger in Pennsylvania. Hello, Roger.
Yeah, thanks, John. Roger. Hey, just a couple tips on that acetone. Don't use too much of a good thing, of course. As you pointed out, acetone is fairly aggressive, and it is hydroscopic, of course, meaning it absorbs water. And one of the best sources, perhaps, is just paint stores. You get a full gallon can for, maybe as little as 10 bucks or less, thereabouts. And now I had heard from a fellow you got to watch that if you use too much, at least if you use it pure. I don't know about diluted in gas. I'm expecting that's a lot safer. But if you try to clean metal parts, it's supposed to be corrosive over a long time.
Yeah, and there are warning labels plastered all over it.
Yeah, but not with respect to these qualities, if you will.
Yeah.
So I would say use maybe a bit less than what might seem optimal, and I'm just guessing that would you'd tend to do better that way.
Well, and we're living in a society, if a little is good, then a whole lot more is that much better. And that is flat out wrong. I'll tell you what, let's take the break. Roger, hang on there 1 second. We'll come back after this break. It's the acetone show today. And people are hurting at the gas pump. We'll be right back.
listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel-cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free. It requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBN, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com, the store that invests its profits in your freedom.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
You know, as a kid growing up, I could remember buying the nickel bottles of Coca-Cola out of the machines. You remember the ones that had the looked like the gunmetal handle on the front? You'd plop your nickel in there and you'd open up the door. And man, I'll tell you what, that was the neatest thing to me when I was a kid, because it was small, it was compact, it was only 7 ounces. You know what I find myself doing, because I've aged and I can't ingest the stuff that I used to ingest without putting it around the midriff? I found a place that sells 7-ounce bottles of Coke in the very same glass bottles. And I noticed when I was a kid growing up, pretty soon I started to see 16-ounce bottles, you know, of this. And, you know, now you can get a mega Slurpee, stick your head in it, brain freeze at your local Stop and Rob or whatever. A 32-ounce gulpy or whatever. I mean, come on, man. I sometimes don't even drink that 7 ounces, but man, is it nice. You get it cold enough, or you pop the cap, you see those little tiny ice crystals come to the top just for a few seconds. It's at the perfect temperature. More is not necessarily better. I don't see any soft drink out there quenching your thirst after three or four gulps, let alone a gallon or a quart of the stuff. It doesn't matter. At any rate, Roger, go ahead and finish up, sir.
Yeah, now, especially diluted. For all I know, acetone might be totally safe with modern neoprene-type rubbers and plastics.
It is. In the ratios that he's talking about, and he's even soaked this stuff in pure acetone.
Yeah, now, on a lot of plastics, acetone is very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
I use it in microscopic quantities to melt plastics at times for joining and such, like you might use as an alternative to the plexiglass type solvents and
sure.
whatnot. It's kind of closely related to the ketones or might be. And if you ever have to remove adhesives, gummy residues from tapes and other gummy adhesives, use only naphtha. It's like totally safe on virtually all plastics. And you might think you use something more aggressive like acetone or xylene or whatever you call it, toluene,
mm-hmm.
and they won't touch any of these adhesives, but naphtha will cut through them, same as lighter fluid, of course.
Yeah, we don't tell the listening audience about tooling. We'll start another glue sniffing craze in the country.
Yeah, you stay away from
yeah.
stay away from that stuff. It'll kill you right quick.
Yeah, it will.
And that was about it. Well, I did want to spoontificate a little on this Liars Club. I wanted to thank Robbie and Al Martin earlier, like last week especially. I hope everybody gets. That's back in the archive there for that show if they missed it. But, you know, this Liars Club on the Sunday morning talking heads, here you have the industry reps from the oil, and then you have the stock Republican, and then you have the stock Democrat, was that begins with an R.
And then you got the stock dealer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but now whereas the Democrat, of course, is lying outright, the Republicans are merely lying by omission. And, they all pretend that they're free marketeers, and the one thing they won't tell you, of course, then the one thing that completes it, the one little thing that I left out, Robbie, and Al Martin last week was to complete the picture is of course that the oil industry, they make all their money off refining and distribution.
Right.
They have zero interest in oil production, of course, and that's that's the thing that really fully rounds the picture, is they have every interest in financing the enviro wackos as they do.
Sure.
Because they don't want any more domestic competition competing with the Seven Sisters, for production. Some of them, you know, they might even, if they got a little money into their belts, they might develop their own refineries, and that would just be too bad, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. And if we notice, thanks for your call, Roger. I appreciate it very much. If you noticed, the peak oil story died real fast when they got negative reaction from that the oil, the world is running out of oil. And that story died rather quickly. The technologies are going to take place. As soon as somebody can figure out how they can make a buck off of something, they'll get into the business of manufacturing and distributing the product. We're being faced right now with these wonderful new hybrid vehicles that are coming out. Well, you know, either do one or the other, but make it efficient. And people, you know what? People aren't buying these hybrid cars, and I don't care if gas went to $6 a gallon, because the offset of the car cost itself, you'd much rather go out there and buy something that's beat up that runs halfway decent, just don't drive it as much. You know, I mean, it's absolutely insane. You know, we've got $2 trillion of oil stuck in shale out there in the Rocky Mountains. You know, we got 200 years supply up there at Gull Island alone, and I'm not including ANWR. We got enough oil. We have enough oil. What we have are the manipulators, as you said, Roger. Thanks for your call. Gary in Tennessee. Hello, Gary.
Hey, how you doing today, John?
Good.
Welcome from Fort Defiance.
Fort Defiance, you said?
Yes, Fort Defiance.
Okay.
We're going to be sending our little $20 payment in this week. I got the money order from my $750 Social Security check. The rest of you boys go off your desk and send Don some money.
Well, you know what, Gary? I was talking about that very subject to somebody today. And, you know, I don't know if they... Maybe they feel because we're dealing gold and silver, we're making all kinds of money, we don't need donations. That is not true. You know, I wish... Is Sandra here? Let's get her in the studio here. Let's set her down here for a minute and have her explain how things work. At any rate... I don't know if they hear advertising or whatever the case may be. Maybe they think we're rolling in dollars. No, I am just real frugal with a dollar, and I can make that stretch. Number one, I know the difference between a good talk show host and a bad one. I know what good information is versus somebody just wasting your time. So, you know, Gary, I bless you for doing what you're doing. I wish more people were doing it. Now, obviously, you're on a fixed income, right?
In a full-blown survival mode and have been doing so for the last 3 years. And I want to tell you something. We're locked and loaded, and we're ready to unload. And I go out and I try to talk to people and get them involved and everything, and they're just too fat, dumb, and happy right now. But you have to go through what I went through for the last 3 years. You're going to learn a lot of stuff. Yeah, there's one guy who was on there who was doing this survival thing, and he said, try your survival plan for a week or two in your house. You know, you don't have to go out here in the woods or nothing. You at least get rid of the mosquitoes and ticks and all the mother rattlesnakes and whatnot. But anyway, you're going to find out, I don't care how good you plan, you're going to have a bunch of holes in it. Now, I've been practicing this stuff for 3 years, and I'll tell you what, I'll go head-to-head with any survival expert you want to put on the air, and I'll put him to shame. I can talk the talk, because I've done walk the walk, and I've done it for 3 years. I got no running water. I've got a drop cord for electric for my refrigerator. My bathroom is a 5-gallon bucket and plastic bags. I've heat my water to take a bath in a large pail.
Gary, what you're describing here is something Americans don't even want to consider. Down here in Central Texas, over the last several days, we've had severe storms. People's electricity went out and they panicked.
What? It got pretty cold this winter. First summer was 115 degrees in this abandoned trailer, and the winter was like 40 degrees. Well, I've done a little work on it and skinned the walls with 1-inch styrofoam. And you know what I heat this place with now? A 1,500-watt heater, which is like a hairdryer. And I do quite well. I got a little 8,000 BTU air conditioner in the window. And... you know, I can take my survival system. I don't care where you're at and what you're doing. I could adopt what I do into an apartment downtown New York City. It doesn't make any difference what happens.
One of these days we might have to do it. Gary, I got to move on. I've got other callers, and I got to get to some of this information. But maybe we will do that one of these days. You know, hey, they're still trying to figure out, you know, how to pay off their big screen TV down here and still have the vacation every year. You know, they're not to that point yet. And they're not going to do basic survival stuff until it's time that they have to survive. BL in Texas, and I'll take Ann in New Mexico, and then I got to go to this news. BL, go ahead.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I miss you at Crawford. My workman didn't show up till after 1 o'clock, so I didn't make it.
Okay, you have an excuse. The rest of the people don't.
Well, I'll take my flagellation in public, but
right.
I wasn't there. I've been using acetone in gas since 84. When I ETS'd from the Air Force, I bought a high-compression, air-cooled Moto Guzzi Le Mans, and it did not like that California gasoline. So I've been using 2 ounces of acetone and about a half ounce of Marvel Mystery Oil per every 6-gallon tank ever since it was new. And we tore the engine down, or we opened up the engine, and it looked like a brand-new engine inside.
Yeah.
The bottom end, the cylinders, the valve train, it's seen the far side of 130 miles an hour lots of times, and it just looks brand-new inside.
Yeah, you just mentioned another thing that I like to use, Marvel Mystery Oil. You can add it to your crankcase. You can add it to your oil. You can add it to your gasoline. It's great for lubricating injectors and doing all that stuff. Yeah, Mr. Oil is good stuff, man. Mechanic's secret for years and years and years and years and years.
Some little glass bottles with a good solvent-resistant cap, and just pre-mix some additives for your vehicle and carry them with you. That's what I did, was Listerine travel bottles. Just pre-mix three or four of those guys. You can make it all the way across the country. But Toluene is very dangerous. I add Toluene to my Nissan Turbo because it runs real high boost. But you really got to know what you're doing to mess around with that stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest that. Benzene or any of that stuff. I mean, I just wouldn't. I mean, this is very simple. It's easy to measure. The one thing you got to keep in mind, don't breathe it. Don't get it on your car paint. And don't get it on your hands without washing your hands immediately. And that's it.
It's cheap, and it's available everywhere.
Everywhere.
And the short Cokes, John, that we got when we were kids?
Yeah.
Back then, they were made with sugar. Now they're made with high fructose corn syrup.
I know it.
And they're thinned out with water.
I know it. Man, don't you miss the days when men were men, women were women, and cars were cars?
I'll tell you what. I used to pay 9.9 cents a gallon for gasoline back in the late 60s and early 70s. Those were the days.
Thanks for your call, BL. I appreciate it very much. And you have a pass. If you had to make up for the crew that didn't show up, you have a pass. Appreciate it very much. Ann in New Mexico. Hello, Ann.
John, how are you?
Good.
Yahweh bless you.
Thank you.
Guess what?
What?
I got the Aaronizer on the 26th of April.
Uh-huh.
Very good delivery.
Uh-huh.
And I have it up and running as of yesterday. And it's wonderful. I have the SS4X or something like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because I have a small place.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you.
Well, and, Ann, thank you for saying that. This is what we've been trying to tell these people all these years. Get an Aaronizer.
Yeah. And the air smells clean and fresh. And, and I just have it continuously running. I have it on low.
Yeah.
I suppose I could turn it up, you know, but it's on low.
Well, and you know what? After you condition your air, after you clean all the crappy stuff out of the air, you can turn those things down, but the longevity trick, your SS4X, if you never turned the thing on, I'd be real surprised if it burned out in less than 10 years.
Well, they say to turn it on once a month, turn it on high to burn the dust out, you
right.
know, to keep it running good.
Right.
But on another subject, what do you think of E85 ethanol? I'm really pumped up about it.
Well,
because especially the new stuff, the new technology is making it out of cellulose, John.
Yeah.
Grass and stalks. In other words, set it up by the city dump.
Yeah. I mean, let the environmentalists fool around with this stuff until they get it right. I'm not going to run ethanol because it's basically just alcohol with some additives in it.
Right, and that's what we should be switching from oil to alcohol.
No, you do your do your research on alcohol. It's not a good fuel. It destroys engines.
Well, not if the flex fuel car is made for alcohol.
Ah.
Read Robert Zubrin. He was on Coast to Coast the other night. He's got a paper called The Energy Revolution. And click on the Coast to Coast AM and then go to his site.
All right.
It's a wonderful article, and I'm all pumped up. In fact, I've invested in a company that's going to put up ethanol plants across the nation, hopefully.
Well,
you know, hopefully if the government gets in on it.
There's no reason for us to be doing this, though, Ann. That's just,
I heard you say that.
This is the problem I have with this. The reason is we've got to duck and run and go for the next new technology. We've got to jump on board with that.
Really?
When we have something that hasn't changed ever since it was made, it's called an internal combustion engine. The best way for that to be efficient is to get the fuel in and out as soon as you can.
Brazil.
And that's the basic principles of it. And
but
what
Brazil is independent of all outside sources of oil. They're running on ethanol, their country, and they're free.
Yeah, they're free of gasoline, but ask them how many car repair bills they have.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, see, that's what they're not telling you about.
Well, I'm a woman. I don't know about that stuff.
Well, okay. All right, Ann, thanks. I appreciate it very much. All right, let me get into this. Pull down that computer. I don't want to hear that last break. All right, let me shift gears here. We got into the ethanol giddy-ha-has here. The first clip I want to play is the you heard this before. This is Donald Rumsfeld. Just go ahead and run the clip. Go ahead.
So I would like to ask you to be upfront with the American people. Why did you lie to get us into a war that was not necessary and that has caused these kinds of casualties? Why?
Well, first of all, I haven't lied. I did not lie then.
And there's the press clapping for Donnie Rumsfeld. Yeah, Donnie, go get him.
Colin Powell didn't lie. He spent weeks and weeks with the Central Intelligence Agency people and prepared a presentation that I know he believed was accurate. And he presented that to the United Nations.
And he said he lied about it.
He spent weeks and weeks with the Central Intelligence people. And he went to the American people and made a presentation. I'm not in the intelligence business. They gave the world their honest opinion. It appears that there were not weapons of mass destruction there.
You said you knew where they were.
I did not. I said I knew where suspect sites were, and we were just.
You said you knew where they were, near Tikrit, near Baghdad, and northeast, south, and west of there. Those are your words.
My words were that. No. Wait a minute. Let him stay 1 second. Just a second.
This is America, huh?
You're getting plenty of play, sir.
I just like an honest answer.
I'm giving it to you.
We're talking about lies and your allegation that there was bulletproof evidence of ties between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. Was that a lie, or were you misled?
Zarqawi was in Baghdad during the pre-war period. That is a fact.
Zarqawi? He was in the north of Iraq in a place where Saddam Hussein had no rule.
He was also in Baghdad.
Yeah, when he needed to go to the hospital. These people aren't idiots. Yes. They know the story.
You are... Let me give you an example. It's easy for you to make a charge, but why do you think that the men and women in uniform, every day when they came out of Kuwait and went into Iraq, put on chemical weapon protective suits? Because they liked the style? They honestly believed that there were chemical weapons. Saddam Hussein had used chemical weapons on his own people previously. He'd used them on his neighbor, the Iranians. And they believed he had those weapons.
Because you told
them
that, Rummy.
He had those weapons.
Yep.
That's what we call a non sequitur. It doesn't matter what the troops believe. It matters what you believe.
I think, Mr. Secretary, the debate is over. We have other questions.
Your
audience.
Yeah. Caught him dead to rights. Now, Ray McGovern was on Paula Zahn's show. Now, listen how she tries to unseat him and tries to rattle his cage. Go ahead and run that clip.
Confidence, and we'll stay on the job. And just before we went on the air tonight, I talked with a man you just saw debating Secretary Rumsfeld. He is a former CIA analyst. His name is Ray McGovern. He happens to be a member of a group called Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, VIPS for short. They have been highly critical of the Bush administration's handling of the Iraq War and claim that intelligence was misused to justify it. So did you go to this speech today with the intent of challenging Secretary Rumsfeld?
I had no predetermined objectives. I just wanted to see what he had to say. But I did get very motivated when the First Lady was ejected from the crowd.
And what was it then that you wanted to accomplish by following her rather pointed question?
Well, you know, she talked about lies, and I get very upset when Donald Rumsfeld shakes his head and says, lies, gosh, lies. I hate it when somebody says that our president would tell lies. Of course, she hadn't said the president, she said Rumsfeld. But he said that lies are fundamentally destructive of the trust without which government cannot work. And that's true, and I found myself really agreeing with that.
Essentially, what he told you is, I never said exactly where the weapons of mass destruction were. I was referring to, we had a pretty darn good idea where the sites were.
Well,
do you buy what he said today?
His words were, we know where the WMD are. They're near Tikrit and Baghdad and north, south, east, and west of there. That's a direct quote. And when he used that wonderful non sequitur by looking at the uniformed personnel in the front row and saying, well, They went in with protective gear. They certainly thought there were weapons of mass destruction there. Well, my goodness, of course they did, because you, Donald Rumsfeld, told them that they were there. And, you know, it's not polite to say this, but that was a bald-faced lie, and he should have owned up to it if he wants there to be a modicum of trust.
How much of an axe do you have to grind with Secretary Rumsfeld?
It's not a matter of axes to grind. It's a matter of telling the truth. And we were pledged in my day at the CIA to tell it without fear or favor, to tell it like it is. And when I see that corrupted, that is the real tragedy of this whole business.
There was a point where it appeared as though you were going to get kicked out.
Yes.
Donald Rumsfeld encouraged whoever, I think, had their hands on you at the time to let you stay there. Does he get any credit for that today?
At first I thought, well, that was rather gracious. But then I got to thinking, I was not abusing the privilege. I was simply asking pointed questions. And for the national TV audience to see me quartered away for asking Rumsfeld to explain what any objective observer would call a lie, that wouldn't have been good PR. So, yeah, I'm glad he let me stay, but I think it was for self-interested reasons.
Ray McGovern, we really appreciate your time tonight. Thank you.
You're most welcome,
very
Paula.
Much.
Ray McGovern. Tell you what, you know, doesn't he remind you a lot of Stan Monteith? Stan used to be heard down here in the local low-power market. He may be again in the future, I hope. But he reminds me a lot of Stan Monteith, just a very intelligent, measured guy. And he doesn't get flustered. And what he said about Donald Rumsfeld was exactly what I thought. By the time he got up there and started engaging Rumsfeld, they would have looked like fools, because this was being broadcast on CNN, folks. To pull him off of that microphone and haul him out like he's some kind of yahoo that just is there to protest wouldn't have boded well. He said that. After I had time to digest what had happened there, I'd seen what happened. My immediate reaction to that was Rumsfeld would have been a fool to have him pulled out of there. That would not have went well for Mr. Rummy. Everybody wants this guy's head, but it's not being offered up. I look for Donald Rumsfeld to be there until the last days of Mr. George Bush. And, you know, Rumsfeld got up there and lied during that press conference, and where McGovern went after him about Colin Powell. Colin Powell admitted that he lied when he gave that presentation to the United Nations. He didn't believe it then. That was the yellow cake deal. You know, which was all, well, that's right. It goes back into the Valerie Plame thing, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, that's right. Mr. Wilson and how the White House tried to axe them because they weren't playing patty cake and weren't taking part in the lies. Now, I didn't get into a chance to get into the CIA nominee, Mr. Hayden, but I think we've got a clip. How long is that clip? We don't know. Okay, go ahead and play it. If we run out of time, we run out of time. Go ahead, hit it.
My understanding is that the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution specifies that you must have probable cause to be able to do a search that does not violate an American's right against unlawful searches and seizures.
Actually, the Fourth Amendment actually protects all of us against unreasonable search and seizure.
But
that's what it says.
The measure is probable cause, I believe.
The amendment says unreasonable search and seizure.
But does it not say probable?
No.
The court standard, the legal standard, the legal standard is probable cause.
Just to be very clear, okay, and believe me, if there's any amendment to the Constitution that employees of the National Security Agency are familiar with, it's the Fourth.
Right.
and it is a reasonableness standard in the Fourth Amendment.
To quote the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States in its entirety, the one the General and the NSA folks are so familiar with and know is about reasonableness and not about probable cause, quote, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
That'll do it for us, folks. We'll see you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report.
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals?
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.